Well, welcome everybody and all of you joining at all three of our FEC campuses this weekend. I'm glad you're here and been able to see you. My name's James, if you don't know who I am, and I get the privilege of being part of the pastoral team here and sharing some of the stories of God's goodness to us in this past year. We've got lots to be thankful for as we look backwards, and an awful lot to be expectant about as we look forward. And as it start, I want to just pause a minute real personally and say thank you to those of you that have been praying for our little granddaughter, Avery. She was in hospital for a whole week fighting a viral infection, and it's the treatment she's been getting has been working. She got to go home yesterday evening with her mom and dad, and I'm grateful to you for your prayer and your kindness to us as a family. Last weekend, I was able to worship with my dad and my stepmom at their local church, and then to be part of our FEC online campus in the afternoon. In the UK, much like here, it was Remembrance Sunday. There was a big event took place on the Saturday night in the Royal Albert Hall in London. It was one of those times where we get, as nations, to pause and reflect and remember about people who gave their today so that we could have our tomorrow. And it reminded me of the power of memory. One of my favorite theologians to read, a guy called John Webster, he once said this, and I want to quote him correctly here. He said, "Memory is that part of the mystery of human life through which the past can still be present to us, through which what we have been and what we have done remains part of us now, so that through memory, we can represent the past to ourselves and make it part of our present now." It would be hard to overestimate the importance of memory in the biblical tradition, especially in the Psalms. For Scripture, memory is a critical faculty in the life of the people of God, for the simple reason that God is a God of covenant. God is the God who enters into covenant with his people. And God's great acts of salvation in the past are the basis of both present commands and future promises. Because God has done this, because God has acted thus and shown himself to be this one, then we are now faced with a command to live in a certain way and a hope that we will have a certain future. And therefore, we must remember. They're strong and hefty words, I get that. And being the shallow individual, I began to think about memories in my life. I brought some of them with you so you could have a laugh with me. I remember when we took our kids to Disneyland and they all wanted to collect pins. See, look, I brought them with me. Snazzy, eh? If you'd want to trade. But these memories that we're looking at here are not simply about pins at Disneyland. They're memories of who God is and what God has done and what God has promised to be in our lives. It actually matters that we remember. We recall our identity as those who are loved by God, chosen by God, forgiven by God, redeemed by God, set free by God. Remembering gives us our identity. That's something we did moments ago as we shared in communion together. We remembered that Jesus, our Savior, gives us our identity. It's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Remembering gives us our identity. Remembering also helps us to assess where we are and what we're doing. Where we are, what we're doing, where we're going. I don't just have my Disney pins with me. I brought something else here. Once I got onto a roll of finding lanyards at home, I thought I'd bring this one too. See, if you're on Facebook and you sign up for the Conqueror Challenge, you could be like me and get cool medals for doing very little. This one's got a windmill that spins. It takes all your steps from here, applies it to a virtual walking tour somewhere else. You plant 5 trees along the way, and you get a very cool medal. I'm shallow, it's okay. I'm on my 4th now, but I didn't have enough space in the podium to bring them all up here. Memory helps us to keep moving. It helps us to keep moving. They're a tangible reminder. Remembering calls us to follow Jesus. And in this time of pandemic, that has been challenging. How should we react? What should we do? How should we love others? How do we place their needs above our own? Answers are not always easy. I think that's why Jesus told us that the road would be difficult. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many may enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. But follow we must. We're called to a life of faithfulness that reflects God's utter faithfulness to us in pouring out his own life. Remembering gives us our identity. Remembering helps us to assess where we are and what we're doing. And remembering demonstrates that our future is secured. We entrust ourselves to God's promises, promises that are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Paul again in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, no matter how many he has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. There's little that we can predict with confidence anymore. We've discovered that in the past couple of years. There are far more questions than there are answers. We all feel that. But remembering allows us to face great uncertainty with our eyes fixed on Jesus. So let me ask you a question you may have heard in church a long time ago. Is there an amen spoken by us to the glory of God? Apparently not. Let me try again. Is there an amen spoken by us to the glory of God? Somewhat, that's good. It matters that we remember. So let me read the first section of Psalm 78 this evening for us as we remember together. Psalm 78 begins like this. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We'll not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob. He established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned their back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guarded them with the cloud by day and with the light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made the water flow down like rivers. And so it continues. A psalm of remembrance, possibly used in temple worship as an opportunity for people to renew their commitment to this covenant-keeping God who had promised never to forget them or leave them. A moment to recognize God as their deliverer and to commit themselves to him in faithfulness and obedience. It's an old story, and it's a story the people who heard those words probably knew very well. But it's an invitation for that story to get under their skin, perhaps to get under our skin too, as we choose to remember. Who is the God we encounter in this story in Psalm 78? He's the God who rescues and sets free. As the people of God were marching towards the promised land, Moses gave them, in effect, the Coles Notes version of what happened, in case they were struggling to remember, God leading them out. Moses said this to them in Deuteronomy 26, when you're asked a question, here's the answer. My father was a wandering Aramean, they mean Abraham, and he went down to Egypt, his descendants at least, with a few people, and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous, but the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given to me. And in Jewish homes around the world today, they'll still begin to tell that story in their celebrations. And Psalm 78 is doing something like this. It's reminding them that God chose his people with mercy and with grace. He loved them, and with strength he set them free. The sea parted, the rocks were split open. He led them and he fed them. He made the impossible possible. Do you need to be reminded of that today? That God can make the impossible possible for you? Where do you find it hard to trust God? Your health? Work? Finances? Relationships? Maybe the place that would help us start learning how to trust again would be to remember all that God has done for us right up until now. But there's another big question we face as we read Psalm 78. Not only who is the God we encounter there, we need to ask ourselves honestly the question, who are we in this encounter? The answer is given in verse 17. I stopped at 16 for a reason, because here's what verse 17 said. But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. Who were they? Or let's just be honest, who are we? Sinners. That's who we are. We like to think the best of ourselves, but as you read Psalm 78 all the way through, it stands as a devastating critique of humanity. Stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, all symptoms of the same problem. We live without memory. We live without remembering God, the God who can save, the God who has called us to be his people. We forget, we wander, we complain, we turn away. And the cure is to remember, and so to allow God to change our lives. We cure our amnesia with memory. The New Testament is filled with places, at least some, you'll read through, where the Coles Notes summary shows us what it means to be the followers of Jesus and helps us to remember. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Remember this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised in the third day according to the scriptures. Jesus died for you, for me, for us." In 1 Timothy 3, he writes, "He, Jesus, appeared in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up into glory." Jesus, our Savior. These little memorable phrases. Or 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Remember this, if we died with him, we also will live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we disown him, he'll disown us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he can't disown himself." Jesus is faithful, even when we falter and are faithless. And so this weekend, we're going to continue to remember God's faithfulness in our current reality. And we begin by looking backwards with gratitude. Right before this pandemic broke out at the end of 2019, we were doing something like this, thinking about all of our M&M goals, and had M&Ms on stage, and you're all eating candy while I was talking. And there were all sorts of exciting things to remember. Momentum. Our foot traffic counter on the Deerfoot campus alone was that over 320,000 people came through this facility in the course of a calendar year. In that one year, 2019, 300 people came to faith in Jesus Christ. 169 of them were baptized. 38 neighborhoods had gathered together in our Community Connect events. In missions, our giving was increasing. We had 8 short-term teams deployed that year. 183 children sponsored through Compassion. Firm partnerships in place with churches in Thailand and in Quebec. Money, we were on target to become debt-free next year. In multiplication, that year we launched our Southwest campus at Glenmore Christian Academy as part of an ongoing 3-year multiplication cycle. And then life got difficult. And it kept getting harder. The multi-year, multi-wave pandemic. People were getting sick. People were dying. Businesses were failing. Jobs were lost. Ministry became challenging. And it was easy to forget our identity. It was easy to fear for our future. It was easy to wander in our present. But God is faithful. Jesus promised that he would build his church to make the impossible possible. We had to rediscover and remember that the church is not buildings, it's people. We had to rediscover and remember that ministry is never confined by physical space. We had to rediscover and remember the Jesus way of being followers of the Messiah. We had to rediscover and remember our mission of building lives that honor God, all for Jesus. So what happened? Well, the Year in a Glance report that you may have seen or you could easily download afterwards tells part of the story. And for a few moments today, I get to be the Psalm 78 guy in verse 4 who tells the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he's done. What did we discover? Well, a whole lot of drive-in events, from things like Friday evening worship to weekend services that we tried doing outside, where I almost got to be Mary Poppins flying away, holding onto a tarp that was in place in the north parking lot, if you remember that fateful evening. I just about survived. I'm not sure all the equipment did. We had drive-in family movies, drive-in baptisms. I conducted a drive-in wedding for the very first time. We had drive-in everything. And there was online everything, weekend services, Wednesday prayer, Discovery Land, Alpha, many of the classes that we offer that managed to transition and operate fairly well in a new media. Our Connect ministries reminded us that 75 small groups were able to maintain and grow during this terrible season using all sorts of new technology opportunities. There were groups we read of that phoned each other every evening to pray with each other before they went to bed. We had guys working downtown volunteering with the Seed in a partnership called the Yellow Jacket Initiative, serving those experiencing homelessness, giving them backpacks and coffee and food and conversation. Our Grow ministry, 63 people were able to still participate and celebrate recovery. We had 80 guests at Alpha. Can you imagine how we did that online? 50 people participating in After Alpha opportunities. Even though physical contact was all but impossible, we were still able to baptize 37 people. We had 837 people participated in the week of prayer. Our Share ministries, we sponsored 87 refugees from 11 different countries to come to Canada this past year, despite the pandemic. 20 new volunteers serving these brand new Canadian families. And we even deployed 2 international worker families in this difficult time. Her music ministry had a lot of fun. The choir made all sorts of videos. We saw some of them in person today. They made some great videos for us. They released an EP called The Ascent Recordings Volume 1. Our kids' choir, Elevate, they won a prestigious music award this year for their new music video. Our Harvest Culinary Ministries provided 56 hampers to families that could do with them. We served lunches in the past ministry year to over 65,000 kids that were facing food insecurity, with 30-plus volunteers who served tirelessly in the kitchens making this happen. Discovery Land transitioned so well to online as well as in person. They had curbside pickups of fun packs and doing Christmas and Easter in a box. Our seniors managed to run their grandparenting classes. Their exercise program moved online and still had 37 people participating. In congregational care, 294 people received practical help, and 88 we were able to come alongside in their journey of grief through our grief ministries. Students tried a drive-in grad for grade 12. It worked well. And 11 of our students, now young adults, are participating in our Deep Discipleship Initiative. You can go read the rest. It's all there. There's things you may not notice, though, not easily seen in a report, because they're more operational and yet somewhat essential. Our brand new online connecting software called Realm, you've heard us talk about it. It's easy to find if you want to know more. We produced a new dashboard of quarterly metrics that have been allowing us to verify, are we actually making any difference in this journey that we called Shaping Today and Thriving Tomorrow? We completed a whole bunch of renovations to the third floor at the south end of the building to help accommodate our guests from the Mustard Seed, that they have a warm and dry and safe place to spend their evenings here and some of their days with us as the weather gets worse again. We introduced a text response system in our services. You heard already, text hello too. We've got a word for everything you want to text about. We're having a lot of fun with that. We added an automated assistant onto our website. Our new Southwest Ministry Center and offices became operational in Bridalwood this year. If you've never had a chance to see them, you really ought to go one time. It's a beautiful facility. We developed an FEC online campus operational center and meeting place one at the Deerfoot campus. You can look in on your way out and have a see what's going on there. And get this. Even in this difficult financial crunch time, we paid our mortgage down such that today there is only $233,000 outstanding upon everything that we have ever done, and we will be debt-free by May 22 next year. It's the story of God's faithfulness. Any difficult journey, it's the story of his faithfulness. It's why we remember. Is there an amen spoken by us to the glory of God? Amen. Oh, good. Somebody's alive. So what's next? How do we look forward in faith? I mean, it's hard to predict anything. Will we be in person next week, next year? What's next? Who knows? How do we look forward in faith? Well, as you know, I hope you do, we have three campuses, Deerfoot, Southwest, and online. And I'm going to invite the campus pastors to join me up on stage right now to have a conversation about this. And as they're coming, I want you to listen to these words of Jesus. Here's the background of what's been happening. Jesus and his followers have started ministry in a little town called Capernaum in Galilee. Jesus has healed sick people. He's been preaching. It's been growing well. Crowds were gathering. It's the start of his public ministry. In fact, one of his followers, Simon Peter, they'd gone to his mother-in-law's house and done an amazing thing there. Her health was restored. It's going really well. And here's what we read right away in Mark chapter 1, very early in the morning, when it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everybody's looking for you. What are you doing out here?" And Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I've come." And they're like, "What? No, it's working here. This is, we found something that works. Let's do this." But instead we read he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. It feels like they've just found their feet. They just begin to understand what God could do to them. And Jesus says, yeah, but everything's changing. We got to move. We got to go somewhere else. The good news goes to other places. Listen, guys, we need to learn how to adapt and advance. And that's actually been our story in the past year. And it is our story as we look forward to the year ahead. Adapt and advance. Let me see if I can avoid killing myself getting around here. Jeff.
James.
Wearing the family swag, I see.
That's right.
FAC. What are some of the things that have been most encouraging for you in our Southwest campus? Jeff's our Southwest campus pastor, if you haven't figured that out yet. What's been encouraging for you there in this past year?
Well, you know, when you first asked me that question, I had to stop and think because it seems like years have just blended together during this pandemic period. But you'll remember that, I think I've said this here before, that we were only 4 months into our public services at the Southwest campus when the pandemic hit. And so that sent us into a place of having to rethink how we were doing everything to be able to move online and to be able to still connect with people we were just starting to get to know. And so we started instantly doing Zoom calls right after the 11:15 service online so that we could connect with each other. And it was chaos at the beginning of that. But over the course of the year, we were able to work that out so each family could take a turn and kind of share with us what was going on for them and we could pray with them. And that continued over this entire period, which was...
Yeah, this whole you're on mute.
Yes, that's right, that time. And so even now, we celebrated our second anniversary at FAC Southwest on October 20th. We really had only been in person for 10 months at that point.
Wow.
Most of it has been online. So we did lots of things. We started calling people, trying to figure out who knew who and who we could connect with. And over this past year, that's continued monthly, where we've checked in with families and been able to chat with them and to be able to listen to them and pray with them and get them resources or anything that they needed as well in the process of that. We also wanted to reach out to the community because we were new to the community and they really didn't know us that well yet. So we started putting up road signs on all the major routes in the communities that we were serving that said, "How can we help? We're here. We would love to help you." And so we were able to help some families that way through those signs. But what we found out is the city and some other community agencies got together and did a survey this past year. And we found out through that survey that the community all saw us as a valuable asset for them, that FAC as a church was there, and they believed that if they had a need that they could come and that we would meet that for them. So that was really exciting for us to find out. As well, through this period, we continued alphas. We've had three alphas now that we have done in conjunction with Deerfoot and online, and we look forward to be able to move that in person again in the coming year.
You had a fantastic day camp for kids was a huge amount of.
Yeah, if we advance into this past summer, we, you know how it was said, the best summer ever. Well, we took a little bit of advantage of that, and we started to do some community outreach events, things that we could do outside and that we could do safely, socially distanced. So we had an art show, we did a community picnic, and one of the exciting things is that we put together a block party trailer. I really wanted us to be able to go into communities and to connect with people right where they were, and what's the easiest way to do that is to bring them together and to have an event. And so we put together a block party trailer. It has a large barbecue in there, everything that you would need, games, a bouncy castle, an inflatable slide, all kinds of other activities for families to be able to get together and to be able to get to know each other better. And so excited about that and looking forward to what that will bring in the coming year as well as we get to use it more. But you mentioned day camp, and we did have a day camp. We wanted, again, to be able to connect with the community. We did a day camp where we saw 105 children come for a week at Glenmore Christian Academy, and we did it completely outdoors, except for a little bit of rain where we ended up inside. But it was a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to expanding that in the coming year.
So what is on the horizon? What are you looking forward to most as you think about next year?
Yeah, I think those community ways for us to engage with the community are really important. We want to be there and be able to reach out to people. And so we'll continue to do both service projects in the community, but also community events where we can get to know people as well. The campus itself has become very culturally diverse, and it's very exciting to see how all of these cultures are coming together on the weekend in services. And so one of the things we're going to do is that we're going to have monthly events where we can connect together over food once we're able to do that again, where we can hear from each culture, that we can start to understand each other and continue to grow as a community. We also, in reaching out to families, served 33 families last Christmas where we gave them Christmas hampers or encouragement baskets because we just had people that needed that. We'll continue to do those kinds of things, including welcome baskets to new people that move into our community so that we can just say, hi, we're here, and how can we help you? And as well, when it comes to the actual campus, right now we're exploding in children's ministry. Our children's ministry is growing a lot. I think our day camp helped that out. So we're looking at ways that we can expand that as well. And finally, one of the things that the Lord really placed on my heart over this past year, as we were looking forward to moving ahead, was that we needed a family service, that we needed a service where the entire family could be together, that they could learn about Jesus together, and they could worship together, and they could pray together. So our plan is in this coming year that we would start a family service at 9:15 a.m., where everyone in the whole family can come together and worship together.
Wow. And so for those of you that know, I like words beginning with M. I'm going to call this your multi-service approach that you're doing this. Two very different services running sequentially, one after each other, creating space for families to gather. Thank you. Corey. Corey pastors the largest campus. We have all this teasing going on about things. Typical guy stuff. Corey pastors the largest FEC campus, FEC Online. Tell us a little about what you've been thrilled about in the past year.
Yeah, the past year. When I look back, I see that God has been at work preparing me and, you know, FEC to make this change into online world and with technology. I want to jump back a little bit further, just really briefly, to when I was 13 years old. And I was on a chat, it's called MIRC. Probably chat was probably like WWJD. That's probably the chat I was on. And I was struggling, and I just needed prayer. And I remember sitting at my computer desk as a 13-year-old boy, and someone across the internet prayed for me. I cried. I was sitting there crying at my computer because someone reached out. And that has been the passion of my heart that has carried through to where we are today, that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus and use technology to build lives that honor God all for Jesus through connecting, growing, serving, and sharing. So I am so thankful that we've been able to just move into the online campus back in March. The online campus was already existing, and everyone got a really quick welcome to the online campus world. And I was so excited to welcome everyone and show them, you know, what it means to connect and to engage and to still be the community, that it's not just the building, that we can use this technology resource as a wave to ride this wave to the world. I love it. I love that we literally are to the ends of the world, and we get to share our message here at FAC of connect, grow, serve, share, building lives that honor God, all for Jesus. And it's something that has impacted all of us. And I love that even through this, we're open, we're closed, the ups, the downs, the waves of it all, that we can still be the church. And I love being a part of FAC. And I love that we get to go, from online to offline, from chat to church, and that we never closed. We absolutely never closed. Oh, that's a fun one there. There you go. Got to do the jump shot. So when I look back, I love that we can be the church. We can do community all the time. The online campus doesn't close. And that's probably the hardest part is, the 160 what plus hours apart from the weekend service that we're always on. And I love that when I see our Facebook group with over 1,100 people, that anytime, anywhere you are, you can jump in the Facebook group and you can get prayer. It's instant. And people are sharing, encouraging each other with verses. And like you mentioned, Wednesday noon prayer, Thursday thoughts. We had Friday night worship. And this is really just the beginning of online ministry. And so excited that as a community that we can get behind this.
So what are you looking forward to? There's a lot of things happening, a lot still to happen. What's on your mind for next year?
Yeah, so really excited just to keep doing what we're doing. Keep building community, keep connecting. But what I really love about technology is the ability to build community right where you live, that we can connect, we can do Zoom meetings, we can do church wherever people are. One thing that I love about the online community is that not everyone can drive here. Not everyone can be here in this building, but they can tune in online. And so my goal and my desire is that we can build community right where people live, whether it is at a residence home, maybe it's in the jail, where they literally can't go anywhere, or maybe it's with one of our partners like The Seed at a shelter, doing community right where people live in their neighborhoods. Because that's the fact, is that FAC is no longer just in Calgary. And I know there are many people who are joining us online that call FAC home. And I am so blessed that they do. And it's been so fun and exciting being able to connect with everyone and do life together. So the term that we're using is watch party. They could gather together. You could call it a micro church, a micro site, FAC anywhere. There's so many terms to think about. But we're just beginning. I mean, COVID has obviously put a damper on a lot of things, but it's also accelerated so many things. In my perspective, we are so far down the line in online world, and I'm so excited that FAC can be a part of it.
Thank you. He used an M word as well, micro churches. It's interesting for me, having been back in Europe visiting with my dad and our kids, in two of the countries I was in, we have little FAC communities, people who regularly are part of this church that live on the other side of the planet and worship regularly with us and are part of our family.
I know, it's truly amazing. And I think that's why, with church online, it's the tip of the iceberg. It really is. So it's going to be an exciting, in my mind, decades of ministry ahead of building lives that honor God.
That's so good. Let me tell you a couple of things real briefly that I see coming here. One's a brand new opportunity that we have for mental health ministry that's being developed here in-house for people who personally are facing mental health challenges, or for those who live with them or perhaps are their caregivers. We've been busy working with professionals and with key volunteers, putting video curriculum together and creating opportunities that you're going to see rolling out fairly soon in the new year as we seek to serve a diverse group of people that face some very unique challenges in their own journey. And I'm thrilled for the passion that God has put in the heart and lives of ordinary people who are part of FAC to make this happen. Here at Deerfoot, my M word is going to be multi-venue, meaning simultaneous services in various different rooms. This room that you're sitting in right now, or you're watching me on a stage, is the largest room on the FAC Deerfoot campus. We have several other big rooms that are not always used at the same time. And we've been exploring ways in which we can do that and do something different. And so today, I'm delighted to announce to you that starting next year in 2022, we're going to launch a Spanish congregation that will meet in one of the other big rooms here as part of FAC. Our new Spanish-speaking pastor is going to be Hernando Munoz, who comes originally from Colombia and has been pastoring for the past 10 years in Toronto. And he and his wife, Viviana, and their kids are going to be moving here in January. And we'll begin the slow rollout process of gathering a team to move from dream to reality to having a brand new Spanish service for the huge Hispanic community that we have who are part of our church and our neighbors in the communities where we live, that we can take the name and the story of Jesus to them. We adapt and we advance because God makes the impossible possible. Jesus said he'd build his church. Not the gates of hell, not COVID, not masks, not vaccines would ever get in the way of that because God makes the impossible possible. Is there an amen spoken by us to the glory of God?
Amen.
I think there is this time. We have a prayer that we would like to invite you to join with us in, and I'd like to invite you to stand with us as we do this. You'll see some words on the screen. Pastors will read part of it. When it says congregation, you guys get to join in. I know sometimes doing things like this feels like making rote prayers, and I get that. But sometimes they're also very powerful moments for us, just like they had to do in Scripture to remember and to declare to another generation. And we can't tell another generation if we won't tell ourselves. So let's pray these words together. Lord, by your grace, may we be a church where the vision of your kingdom is clear and captivating.
May we be a church in which pure love for you and others dictates everything we do.
May we be a church where Jesus is exalted and experienced as alive and present.
May we be a church where we teach the next generation to love and follow you. May we be a church where stories of your supernatural greatness flow daily.
May we be a church where your word is taught and received under the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
May we be a church where prayer is vibrant, natural, and an ever-flowing source of life and power.
May we be a church where worship is uninhibited, extravagant, and as natural as
May we be a church where your unlimited creativity is expressed.
May we be a church where we are saying yes to Jesus.
May we be a church where we are empowered and released to change the world and push back the darkness.
May we be a church where we are free from love of money and live as outrageous and generous stewards of all your finances and resources.
May we be a church where bold faith displaces incapacitating and paralyzing fear.
May we be a church of comfort and strength for our brethren available in times of sufferings. May we be a church who carries one another's burdens of grief and loss, fulfilling the law of Christ.
May we be a church where the unity of the Holy Spirit is relentlessly pursued.
May we be a church with Jesus at the center. Amen.
Amen. Amen.